Hello, once again, this is Bishop Ed Yarber, and we're in Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, our series of who we are at Canton Grace Fellowship, and we're in Lesson 3. And last week, if you remember, in Lesson 2, we talked a lot about prophecy and mystery, showing you contrast in the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this out there. Are there any contradictions in your Bible?
No.
There is not. So you understand that if there's no contradictions, then there are contrasts, opposites. And when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you can really appreciate what God has laid out. And like I said, last week we talked about prophecy, and prophecy is something spoken what? Since the world began, okay? And anytime you hear that word prophecy, I want you to think in your mind where your focus is at. Prophecy, the focus is the earth, and that's what we're going to look at today. And the mystery program in God's heavenly purpose, in a twofold purpose, is the fact that something was kept secret since the world began. Okay? And the focus, when you hear the mystery program in God's Word, I want you to focus is where?
Heavens.
Okay? Very good. The heavens. So this week we're going to look at the fact that our focus is the earth, and the focus is in the heaven. So the prophetic program focus is where? Once again, the earth. Go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at some verses today that deals with the fact what God deemed to be earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, this is a commission. Commission where? On the earth. God commissioned Adam to do this. So the focus right off the bat in Genesis 1:1 is the focus of the earth. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Here is another commission, and it's an earthly commission. Look at this. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Once again, the focus is where? God commissioned them to do this. Let's continue. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. The Abrahamic covenant. Wonder where that would be focused at. If you understand your Bible rightly divided, God's dispensation of promise was focused with Abraham on the earth, and it has to do with some land. Look at this in verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the heavens. No. Walk in the through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. That's the promise of the land. God, that's why we look up here and looking at a right division chart. It has to do with a nation and has to do with some real estate on earth. And Abraham got up and walked, and he walked the boundary of what is to be given to Israel for the promised land. Not that little stretch they're on now. You know, you really got to think about that. It has to do with some real estate. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. When you focus on the prophetic program, the focus of the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, a very, very important verse when you understand the Word of God right divided. Look at verse 21. That the days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon where? Earth. Even the days of heaven is going to be upon the earth. This is really where the kingdom, we talked about Daniel, the prophesied kingdom in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. But this goes before Daniel. What's he saying? The days of heaven upon earth. Think about that. Because there's a verse in Matthew is similar, very similar to this, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 9. By the way, this little side note, and I'm not picking at anybody, for those who are listening. Those who see me live, they understand that who I am in Christ. But these little figures that you see, the lion will lay down with the lamb. You've heard that in your circles. Where do you find that at? You say Revelation, you would say Isaiah. My son says not in the Bible. He is correct. Look at verse 6. The wolf, Isaiah 11, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb.
Yeah, but the lion's going to be there too.
The lion's going to be there, so, but the thing is, think about this. You're going to be correct or you're going to be clever when you come about the Word of God?
Correct.
Okay. I just use those things sometimes because I find things out there to provoke people to think of the Bible, not to belittle anybody. Okay? Okay. Yeah, you got to keep reading. Okay? Look. And the leopard shall lay down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. They're all there, right, brother? They're all there. But are you going to be right or clever? You want to be clear when you look at the Word of God. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling kid shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. That's going to be a wonderful time. Where at?
On earth.
On earth. Is it happening now? No. But look at verse 9 where I'm going at. I didn't mean to sidetrack you guys. I mean, you're looking at me like, come on, Ed. You know, get with the program here. But look, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's prophecy that Isaiah talked about. Has that happened yet? No. So even the focus on this prophetic book is a focus of a future event. That's why it's very, very important to understand the Bible in times past, but now and ages to come. Very, very important. Look at Jeremiah 23. And get Psalms 37. Jeremiah 23. And Psalms 37. Jeremiah 23. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, behold, the days come when the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the universe. What does it say?
In the earth.
In the earth. in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Where's judgment, justice and judgment going to be? This is a prophetic book talking about something going to happen in a future event about justice. And who is that man? The man called Christ Jesus. Okay? Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the what? Earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You think about that verse. They'll consider it, but it won't be there for them. The evildoers. The wicked. In the prophetic program. Look. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Who's going to inherit the earth?
Meek.
Does that sound familiar for anything? Some of you are shaking your head like, I've heard that somewhere before. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Say again? Absolutely. You've heard it before. You heard this book preached to you, for you, and convinced that you have to live these things. Chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. The Sermon on the Mount. You know, there was a Sermon on the Mount, and when we study the book of Matthew, when we get into this, you're going to understand it's a kingdom book about a king. And he's on a mountain. Also in Luke, I think there's a sermon on the plain where he's down here on the lowlands preaching. So he's going to be for everybody. But look, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is using prophecy book to fulfill prophecy for what? The earth. That's why it's very, very important to understand who he comes for in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You remember what Romans chapter 15, verse 8 says? Jesus Christ was a minister of the who?
Circumcision.
To confirm the promises of the fathers. That's very, 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 very important to understand by rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at chapter 6, Matthew 6, 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And many of we prayed this prayer. Okay. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in
heaven.
What are they praying for? Heaven on earth. Did you not read that back in Deuteronomy chapter 11? Verse 21, as the days are upon heaven or on earth. That's the focus, is the fact that they was going to bring heaven that they knew on earth. Them were glorious days, wasn't it? Hey, I would pray that. But do you pray the heaven come to earth, or do you pray that I'm going to heaven? Amen. Amen. We talked about earlier today about prayer and all. The fact that, hey, why do you pray? Why do you do this? I'm ready to go now because you know what? I am totally convinced through the Word of God who I am, Christ, and you're not going to move me from that.
So you pray.
I pray that I'm going to heaven. And you know, I'm praying that I'm already there. Because, amen. You have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we'll look at that as we go through this study. You're made to sit in heavenly places right now. Hey, if that don't convince you to think, hey, why am I worried about what's in my flesh? Because in this flesh dwelleth all good things, no good things. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? There's some questions there. He's asking some questions. Hath it not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth? Now, what did we say prophecy was? Something spoken since the world began? Okay? The answer is yes. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Verse 22. It is He that sit upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spread it them out as a tent to dwell in. God created the earth as a tent to dwell in. Don't He say, talking about make the enemies thy footstool? That's the earth. God created the earth and stuck it out and stretched His hand across the north and hung it on nothing. And it's His prized possession that He put man on there to replenish and be a center of the universe. And some of us talk in our daily conversation about science and math and history. This book will explain everything that men did not even know of before. What did it say about the earth? It's a circle. Not square. Not flat. Go ahead.
The Catholic Church never picked up on that. Because back in Columbus Day, before Columbus,
it was flat.
It was flat.
Yeah. But the Bible also talks about, if I'm there, well, talk about the four corners. The four corners of the earth. So that's, you know, that. But the earth is round, and the stars are numbered. If you want to look at verse 25. 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by all by names, by the greatest of His might, that for that He is strong in power, no one faileth. Who calls them by name? Hey, for $39.99, I will name a star after you. I know many of you are joking, you know, laughing. But don't you hear that? God already named the stars and numbered them. And the, you know what? Their host. Think about that in your Bible study. Their host up there. Didn't Satan, in his, when he fell in the rebellion, didn't he convince one third of the angelic host? The beings? That's what he's talking about. On the contrast, yes?
So is that why they say that the Word of God is no longer written in the stars?
We have the Word. God, Satan, the thing was the fact that, you know, it's not God used creation in times past through the stars, and it told a redemption story. The zodiac, if you will, okay? But it's been corrupted. It tells a different story today. One way, some of us, well, I used to look at it religiously, you know, got to see what it says for me today. You know? I quit doing that, by the way.
Any of the stars, good idea, four, were telling
a redemption
about God.
Yes. It was He before the spoken word, creation, God laid out a redemption path through the universe that went from Virgo, if I'm upset. I used to know what this was, but He laid it out to where it started out over here, Genesis 3:15, and told a redemption story and showed where He's going to die and everything. We'll talk about that later, you know. But if you get, well, my message 2 years ago at the conference was about that, about why I have the Word of God, and it showed it why I have the written Word of God, and I taught on the stars. the zodiac. But Satan today has corrupted that. You look up there and it tells a different story. You look up there, you can't find anything about God's coming to the earth and dying, burying, rose again. But today we have His Word. The contrast to the prophetic program is what?
Mystery.
The mystery program. And where's the mystery program, where's the focus of that?
Heaven.
Heaven. Let's look at that, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The focus now is going to be in heavenly places. Today through Paul, that we God tells a different, He gives a different message to a different apostle. Many of our brothers out there believe that there's one gospel through the Bible, and we're going to look at some things, and I'm going to prepare you now. Things that you're going to hear and things that you're going to see for yourself if you believe the Bible is going to change your life. I am not going to change your life. The Word of God is going to change your life if you allow it to change. And don't let pride stop you. And don't let this voice on this radio, and you're wondering who he is, that can't pronounce words half the time. But God gave us His Word, and it's His Word that changes your life,
amen,
not circumstances. Okay? You're going to see things and hear things in your Bible that you need to look at your Bible to see if it's so. Search the Scriptures. Don't believe people. Don't believe books about the book. You have the book. Amen? Okay, and the things that you got to really understand, and I'm challenging you. That's what this our church, Canton Grace Fellowship, it provokes you to study the Word of God the right way, not to make you angry and cause division and, you know, name calling. We want you to study. We want to be helpers of your joy, not dominion over your faith. And when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, I'm challenging you, give us 6 weeks. Give us 6 weeks of listening. Come visit us. I shouldn't put that commercial in there, but I did. But anyway, just think about it. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, the contrast. Not the focus is of heaven, focus not on earth, but where? Heavens. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We was talking about prayer a little while ago. This is the reason why I pray and where I know where I'm going. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. What's that word?
Past tense.
Are you waiting for it?
No.
It's already given. It's past tense. He's already given you this right up front. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. He has given it to you up from. Hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings.
All.
Now what do you think all means?
All.
Now what do you think all means in the Greek?
All.
For those Greek scholars. What do you think all means for the Hebrew scholars?
All.
What do you think all means in Spanish?
All.
See. All means all. Spiritual blessings in where? Heavenly places in who?
Christ.
When you understand the Word of God right divided through Paul, our apostle, it's everything is in Christ. It's nothing in you and I. It's in Christ. The focus here is where? The heaven. And it says, according to, He hath chosen us in Him before the world of the world. And He should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's chosen this body before the world began. Okay? And I know what the people, our Calvinist brother and all, says that He predestined you to be there. Okay? That's not true. He predestined a body, and you trust that He died and was buried and rose again, and Christ places you in that body. That's what He predestinated. And you have a choice. See? You have a choice. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We used to have this on our license plate. Drove around Ohio for 6 years with this on our license plate. Ephesians 2, 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Where?
In heavenly places.
and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The focus over and over and over is the fact that it's heavenly places in the mystery program. It's heavenly places in the dispensation of grace. Okay? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I love verse 17, if I can throw that in there. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as so as that ye have us at for an ensample, not example, ensample. That's something inside of you. That's the Word of God, rightly divided, working in you the right way inside of you, so you be an example, and then people see that changes the inside out, and then you can be an example. Look, for many walked, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weepingly, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a whole series in itself. But you think about that. I've got mine underlined for some reason. You know, that they, but look, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine what kind of things?
Earthly
things. That's where people's focus is, what I can get out of the earth. Even in a prophetic program, wasn't it what I can get out of the earth? Man, you better wake up. You better think about some things. You got to draw some lines here. God did. Verse 20. For our conversation is in
heaven.
Bingo. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your focus at? Where's your conversation? Amen. What's that? Well, it's in heavenly places. Colossians chapter 3.
Do I have to
yell loud? We just having fun here, aren't we?
Amen.
I mean, you got to see our church. If those that are listening, we're just ourselves.
Amen.
They kick their shoes off. They make themselves at home. Amen.
Amen.
You make yourself. Let's hear it. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians had a problem about Paul was correcting their thinking. Okay, when you understand the Word of God, all Scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Okay. The first book of doctrine that we know that given to Paul, it's designed, and God laid the plan out, not man. God laid it out that Romans is a book of doctrine. The next book is Corinthians. It's a book of reproof. Their behavior was ungodly. That's why Paul was coming down on them. He didn't come down on them lightly. He came down on them hard for reproof their behavior. Then the correction of the behavior with Galatians is the fact that they was in Christ and they understand the justification through faith, but the Judaizers come in and try to change their behavior and the fact that, no, it's okay that you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again, but you've got to be circumcised. Okay? We're going to look at this later on, down through there. But that's a correction of the behavior. Then the next book is Ephesians, about doctrine, and it's about the advanced mystery truths that God given to Paul about the heavenly purpose. Wonderful doctrine, and that's meat. And then the next book is the book of Philippians, and it's a book of reproof. Okay? He was reproofing their thinking. And the book of Colossians is a book of correction, and he was correcting their thinking. Colossians knew they had the mind of Christ, but they wasn't using it. Follow me? That's why, where's your conversation? Look at verse 3. If ye have, chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are below on earth. Hello? Above, okay? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on things, what? On the earth. For if ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in where?
Glory.
Where's the focus at in this?
Heaven.
Follow me, saints? Very, very important. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Colossians chapter 1:15 says, Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in where? Heaven, and that are in the earth. Visible. Can you see things visible? Where do you see things visible at?
Visible or invisible?
Visible. Amen. And invisible. Wonder where that's at. Does that sound sing? Okay, let's keep reading for a minute. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. You think about the earth, visible things. The nation Israel in times past, prophetic program, visible things. Today, in the mystery program, the focus is heaven, invisible things. Can you see things in heaven?
No.
God made that for a reason. When He put the firmament, if I pronounce that correctly, and the sea of glass, like a smolten glass. He did that for a reason where you couldn't see. When you look at the blue clouds and you see all up in there, that's like molten glass up there. God did it for a reason. But He did show a distinction here, didn't He? Remember Genesis 1:1? In the beginning God created the heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones and dominions and principalities or powers. Think about this. There's thrones and dominions and principalities and powers where? On earth. We know that. We're all subject to those things whether we like it or not. But it's also in heavenly places. Because the earth was a mirror image of what God was doing in heaven. You remember back over here in the tabernacle? It was a pattern of what was in the heaven. And they carried it and they moved it. Until next time, thank you.